I'm going to make a surprising suggestion for this year. Not something which I guess comes up often in the classical sources, but I think if I had to ask how many sources I would need to convince you that something is more than just a coincidence, I think some people say 3, 5, if you have a really high bar, 7. I have 9 sources, I think, that point to this one idea, that the idea of a sukkah is you're building like almost a personal mikdash, not in the usher way, but in the mutter way, in the, I guess, the theoretical way. And there's a korban aspect we'll talk about also. As much as that's a surprising perspective, I think if we look at the mikoros, and we go through Masechet Sukkah, and we look at the different mikoros that the Gemara suggests for a bunch of different dinim, some of the imagery painted for a lot of the different dinim, I think we'll actually see pretty strongly that what we're doing here, that's at least one facet, or that's one element of the mitzvah of Sukkah. We're going to try to, number one, go through those sources, and then we'll talk about what the significance of that perspective might be, definitely coming on the heels of something like Yom Kippur. We spoke about it a different time. So let's jump in. So the way this basically came about was we were doing Sukkah by Tversky in YU a couple years ago, noticed a couple of surprising makoros, something which I wouldn't necessarily have expected, and then going through the Masechta, built up a few more. I was looking around, I didn't find anybody who spoke this out on my own. I went to ask Reb Terrigan to see if he had heard of, I guess, this type of perspective or something like this, and he immediately responded with Reb Yaakov Nagin, who's a Ram in Otniel, the son of Rabbi Ganak, actually, changed his name when he got to Israel. So he actually wrote it up into a whole sefer. So it is out there, but again, not the most classic perspective, and I think interesting to see how it develops. So this is more than just like a vort and like a nice idea in Sukkah. I think it's also an interesting way to recognize what significance or what symbolism a mitzvah could have based on the sources of its halachos. Two like similar examples, you can take like Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So the different makoros given by the Gemara for some dinim for the Shofar and Rosh Hashanah either comes from the Yovel, Yom Kippur, and the Tekiah Shofar by Yom Kippur during the Yovel year, or the Tekiahs in the Midbar to move the camps. The fact that we even know that we're supposed to be using a Shofar as opposed to Chatzotzeros, I think comes from Yom Kippur Yovel, and different sounds comes from the Tekiahs in the Midbar. So if we look at those two separate areas and try to understand what the shofar is doing in those contexts. By Yovel, it's recognizing Hashem is the master, Kili Ha'aretz, so the declaration, Kili Ha'aretz, the earth is mine, the whole world is mine, Israel is mine, and therefore, Shilach Abadim, the whole thing. And then by the Masos, by the Midbar, the connection between the different sounds that are being blown and the outcome, the gathering, the first tekiah, gather up, second tekiah, the trua, break apart and go back to your homes, go back to your tents and put your stuff together, get ready to travel, and the third tekiah, bringing everyone back together as a unit so we can travel together, and applying those perspectives to Rosh Hashanah, tekiah shofar by Rosh Hashanah, meaning we're using the makoros given by the Gemara of Yom Kippur Yovel and the Masos in the Midbar as to shed light on the perspective we're meant to have in tekiah shofar by Rosh Hashanah. That's one example, and again, by a second example similar by Hakel and Arsinai. Now, when you're going through the Gemara in Chagiga, you see a couple of surprising connections of the Rambam is almost explicit in the third parak of Chagiga, between the connections between Hakel and Harsinai, some of the Zinim come from there. Korbanos that were brought by Harsinai mirror the Korbanos, the Olas Re'ia, and the, I don't want to say the Shalmei Simcha, no. Chagiga Re'ia. Yeah, the Korban Chagiga, Lachgogli Bamidbar, Tachogli Bamidbar, and the Olas Re'ia. So those connections are almost explicit. The perspective, or the picture which is painted, is that Hakel is almost a recreation of the Har Sinai experience, not a very powerful perspective, which you get by looking at the Makoros for some of the Dinim, and recognizing, seeing Har Sinai coming up over and over again. So we're going to try to do something similar to those two examples with Sukkah, and we'll see what we come out with. So the first one comes at the very beginning of the Masechta, trying to figure out the makor that the minimum size of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. So we actually did an experiment in Camp Yagila one year. Yaakov Feldstein was the counselor. His learning group was doing what they were going through Masechet Sukkah, and the Yagila twist is that they were building a bunch of the sukkahs that they were learning about. So one of the sukkahs that they built was a minimum height sukkah, 10 tefach sukkah, and they realized that a tent of achzuka is just enough space for a normal-sized human to sit in comfortably. That a tent of achzuka is basically about head height. That if it was any lower, your head would be inside the schach, and this way you can sit comfortably. So that could have been a great reason. You want to call a mitzvah or whatever. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara does not say that the reason the minimum size is 10 tefachim is because that's a normal human being sitting down, sitting on the floor. His head comes out to about 10 tefachim. The Gemara connects it to basically, the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash. The first suggestion was 10 tefachim comes from the Kisui Ha'aron. The Aron was 9 tefachim tall. The Kisui, the Kaporos, was 1 tefach on top of that. And the Gemara says, assuming that Hashem does not come lower than 10 tefachim, therefore your sukkah also needs to be at least 10 tefachim tall. So that's kind of surprising. Like why should I care that Hashem does not come below 10 tefachim? Hashem's not coming into my sukkah, is he? The implication, the Gemara does not explain this, but the implication, the assumption seems to be, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming into your sukkah almost. Now, your sukkah needs to be tall enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get into your sukkah, and therefore it needs to be at least 10 tefachim of space that Hashem can get in, like that hair's breadth at the end. Obviously, you can do more, that would be totally fine. The expectation seems to be Hashem will be joining you in your sukkah, which you would not be able to do or would not do if it was below 10 tefachim. So the Gemara asks, maybe 10 tefachim can be space plus the schach rather than the pure open space with the schach above it. So instead, the Gemara ends up learning from the base olamim, the floor in the base of Mikdash, from the floor to the kruvim, ratio-wise, was a third of the floor to the ceiling. So we can assume the same ratio in the Mishkan. Well, the floor to the kruvim should be one-third of floor to the ceiling, which leaves 10 tefachim of space underneath the wings of the kruvim. The wings are actually called schach, sochachin, bekantehen, above the 10 tefachim. So that we know that it's 10 tefachim of space as opposed to space plus schach coming out too, 10 tefachim. So number one, the source of the 10 tefachim, that minimum size, comes from the Beis HaMikdash, comes from the Mishkan, comes from either the Aron HaKaporos or the space between the Kaporis and the wings of the Kruvim. Surprising makor, I would not have thought that should be where I point to for the building a sukkah. But okay, that's what the Gemara says, what the Torah says. Now we also have the lashon throughout really the Mishkan. You keep looking. You have lashonos of schach of sukkah by chas even coming up over and over again on Zion of Beis v'sakosa al ha'aron safaroches, that the aron had schach over it in a certain sense. The paroches was bent over it, the aron itself. Now, what I would have expected, a little bit surprising, but that's what it is. There it is. So chazim b'kantayim. That was the number one. The number two, much later on in the Sefer, and I'm given with Aleph, Gemara says that sukkah apply. Gemara has the question, does sukkah apply only during the day, or does it apply both during the day and the night? And it has two possible makoros. We can learn from lulav, which is obviously only a daytime mitzvah, or we can learn from the miluyim, which is a day and nighttime mitzvah. When Hashem told us to nazirate the Mishkan, the Kohanim were meant to sit there yom ha'malayla, meant to sit there for a full 7 days, day and night, presumably. Discussion as to how much they were actually like not allowed to leave, but they were meant to be there day and night for the full 7 days, and then on the eighth day, they began the actual avoda, they began the actual service. So which one intuitively makes a lot more sense? I would have thought point to lulav, right? Lulav is the same holiday. It's a mitzvah that's connected to lulav. Sukkah makes a lot of sense. Miluim, what shayches? What connection do we have between sukkah and miluim? But as we know, we actually, in the end of the day, psak-wise, we do learn from the miluyim. We go with that mitzvah l'sha'a, we connect with the mitzvah doros, which itself is surprising. So it seems very surprising that we should go with miluyim over lulav, but that's exactly what we do. Again, another indication that lulav, that sukkah is much more connected to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, than we might have expected. Number two. Number three. The Gemara on Tesmud Aleph. Kashem shachal shem shemayim al chagiga, kach chal shem shemayim al hasukkah. Means that the walls of the sukkah are mukta. You're not allowed to use them because they're set aside for the mitzvah. So that's actually a little bit more of a korban connection, the same way the korban chagiga is kadosh l'Hashem, is set aside as a korban, and therefore you're not allowed to use it for non-kadosh purposes, and you can't use it at all. So too, the sukkah is the same thing, the walls of the sukkah. It's a discussion of Pesachim, whether the walls of the mikdash had a similar din, is there Isser Hana on the walls of the mikdash. Ruf Huttner actually uses this idea, Kishem Shechal Shem Shemaim Al Chagiga, Kach Chal Shem Shemaim Al Asukah, to explain a very interesting point in the Torah in Re'ei. Pesukim in Re'ei, Perek Tezayin of Dvarim, goes through three different regalim, and for Pesach in Shavuos has the line of L'Shakein Shemo Sham. The goal there שמורס חודש אביב ויסיס פסח לשם וככה, כי בחודש אביב הותיח השם וככה ממשיים לילה, וזבח בפסח לשם וככה צאן ואחר במקום אשר יבחר השם, ושכן שמו שם. השם is going to be masher שכינה, to be שוכן לשכינה among us. But Pesach, next is שבועס, ויסיס לך כשבועס השם וככה, מיסס נדבס ולך אשר תתן כאשר יבחר השם וככה, next פסוק, ושמחת וכו', אשר יבחר השם וככה, לשכן שמו שם. That was Yudin Yudin Aleph in Perek Tazayin. Then we get to Sukkot, חג את הכל תעשה לך שבעה שמים ועשוך מגרנך מעקבך, the three pasuk section, you give me a dalat hazvav. Nowhere do we mention l'shaken shemo shem. It's only one of the regalim where that idea is left out. Rav Huttner and Pachad Yitzchak suggests that maybe it's not actually left out. It's the whole essence of sukkah, the whole essence of the sukkah itself. Kishem shechal shem shemayim ala chagiga kach chal shem shemayim ala sukkah. We don't need to explicate that there's a that Hashem Shechina is going to be, Hashras Hashechina by the Chag, because the Sukkah itself has that, or embodies that Hashras Hashechina, because there's a Chalo Shem Shemaim already there. That's number three. This connection between Mikdash or Hekdash Dinim and the Sukkah. Next on Chavzayin and Beis, Eliezer learns, just like you need to own your Lulav, you need to own your Sukkah. There's Din of Lacha. On Biyom Rishon Priya Tether, you need to own your Lulav. Everybody agrees to that. So too, you need to own your Sukkah. Chavzayin goes past that. Lacha Shiva Semin. The Chacham seem to accept that idea in principle, but they have a different source to reject it. Even though you're right, you do need to own your Lulav, there's a different Pasuk by Sukkah. It says Kol Hazrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos. You read it as Basukas, therefore it's singular. Everybody could theoretically use only one sukkah, and therefore it can't be that everyone's going to own that sukkah they're sitting in. Too many people, so it must be that you're allowed to use a borrowed sukkah. So it's almost like an agreeing principle. You're right about the drasha. However, we have a different pasuk which tells us to reject it. So if we look at that second pasuk, what imagery, what picture is painted with Kol Hazrach B'Yisrael Yeshvu Basukos? I mean, what place is there where Kol Klai Yisrael, the entire Jewish people, comes together, gathered together at the same time? They're going to be hanging out under one roof. The only place which I think we have a similar idea for that is the Beis HaMikdash and the Regalim. It's not at all far off. The Regalim, everybody's coming up. On Sukkot, everyone's coming up to the Beis HaMikdash anyway. You do have Kol Klai Yisrael around Yerushalayim, going up to the Mikdash, going up to this one place. Interesting that we're painting this picture by Sukkah and saying that by Sukkah everybody could theoretically be Yosei within one Sukkah. The only other place where we have Kol Klai Yisrael coming together to be there at the same time is the Beis HaMikdash itself. Number four. Next, number five. We know the din that if it's raining, you're not supposed to eat in your sukkah. You're patur from sukkah. So the Mishnah on Chaf Ches and Beis says Kol Shivas Yamim on the most of the sukkah of a Beis Arai. However, Yardu Gashamim Memesam Mutar Lefanos. When do you go inside? When if it starts raining, Mishat Tizrach Hamikveh. When the rain is going to ruin the porridge, it's going to ruin the food. Mashlu. They gave a mashlu to this idea. Lamad Avedome. The Eved Shabolim Zokos the Rabba V'Shafchol Kiton Al Panav. So if you have a servant who comes in to serve his master, comes into the room to serve his master, he's going to dilute his drink for him, mix him up a drink, and the master takes that goblet, takes the jug of water, and throws it back, tosses it back in his face. Obviously, he's not interested in your service right now. He wants you to get out of there. He wants you to leave. So in this picture, you are the Eved. A person who wants to do the mitzvah sukkah is the Eved. You walk into your sukkah to serve the master. Where does that locate the Adon? Right, the Adon is obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That locates the Adon inside your sukkah. What place can I point to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen as like inside, is sitting inside? Obviously, the only other example would be the Mikdash, the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So this mashal is a surprising one, unless the idea that we're developing is actually correct. You should be looking at your sukkah as a mini Mikdash, as a Mikdash Ma'at, in a certain sense, borrowed Lashon. You should be looking at your sukkah as almost like a mini Mikdash. And then it makes sense that we're going to place HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to place the Adon inside your sukkah. And when Hashem says, when it's raining, Hashem is basically saying, I don't want your service right now, I want you to get out of the sukkah. That was number five. Number six is the Yerushalmi, sources the 20 Amos. The Bavli, the opening sugya, and the Bavli has three different suggestions as to how we know that 20 Amos is the maximum size for a sukkah. Anything past 20 is not going to be kosher. You're not going to be able to see that. You're not going to be able to see the schach, the shade is not going to be coming from the schach, you're not going to realize, whatever. The Yerushalmi is a different makor. The Yerushalmi says that the 20 Amos max comes from the Beis HaMikdash. This is actually in the Bavli in Erevin. The maximum size for your kora is also 20 amos, and the Gemara there connects it to Pischo Shel Ula and Pischo Shel Hechel. And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, says 40. He also points to a different part of the base of Mikdash. So the Yerushalmi says that the maximum size of 20 amos is connected to the same height of the base of Mikdash, the 20 amos for the Chachamim and 40, 50 amos for Rabbi Yehuda. So, again, strange that I'm building my sukkah based on a model of the base of Mikdash, unless that's exactly the idea. That's exactly the point. That was the opening lines of the Yerushalmi for Maseches Sukkah. Reuven Nagin, in his book, had a few other ideas. He spoke about Tashlumin, was very much a Korban orientation. He spoke about the sukkah and Ani HaKavod in the Mikdash, the seventh of the clouds in the Midbar. The Machlokas, if sukkah is... Sukkah Namish or the Anani HaKavod. If you take the perspective that it was the Anani HaKavod, the sixth Anani HaKavod, six of the seven Anani HaKavod were the ones surrounding Bnei Israel, and the seventh was the one which denoted or showed that Hashem Shechina was Mashra in the Mikdash, was Mashra in the Mishkan, Kiba Anani Rela Kavoris. That's another very strong connection between the Sukkos themselves, the clouds which surround the Klal Yisrael, and the connection to the Mikdash, connection to Hashem showing his presence in the Mishkan. So those were his connections. He develops those in the book. A few more. That was the first six, Sukkah and Mikdash. Then we kind of transition into three more Makoros, which connect the Dalad Minim to Korbanos. I mean, this is incredibly surprising, but also very strong. The opening Sukkah in the third Perek of Maseches Sukkah, that's where we move over and start talking about Dalad Minim. It talks about a lulav hagazel. The Gemara says the psul from days 2 through 7 for lulav hagazel is mitzvah baba veira, and that quotes two psukim. Both of those two psukim are actually about korbanos, and the Gemara just assumes that they're going to be relevant to mitzvah baba veira. And unclear if that's a general dinner, if that's a more specific dinner. We'll talk about that in a second. The two psukim which are quoted, the first one from Malachi, the Vesem Gazul, the Yesabizach, Vesachole, that people, Hashem basically says, I don't want you bringing stolen korbanos, I don't want you bringing lame or sick korbanos, Gazel Dumya Zabizach, I don't want a stolen korban. So too, I don't want a stolen lulav. Mitzvah Bavavera is puzzle. Second puzzle quoted, Ki Ani Hashem Oev Mishvat Sone Gazel Ba'ola, I hate people who bring a korban ola, a stolen korban ola, and again saying that if it's relevant by korbanos, it must be relevant to dalad minim also. Now, why is that so clear? Why can I just assume that a din which is relevant to korbanos is going to be relevant by dalad minim? Now, it's important to ask: is this a general mitzvos question din, or is this a more specific lulav din? That's actually the Ritva brings this up. The Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Tam. A big discussion, which mitzvah, so we have a psul of mitzvah baba avera to a bunch of different theories. So the Ritva quotes Rabbeinu Tam. We don't have this in Tosos, but he quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying that it's actually an incredibly limited din. It's limited to two mitzvahs, maybe a third, and different somewhere else in Sukkah he has a third mitzvah to include in the category. He says it's only mitzvah sabalaratzos. We'll only use this psul of mitzvah baba avera for mitzvah sabalaratzos. What mitzvahs fit into the category of balaratzos? They're giving ritzui pleasure, acceptance, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's acceptance of us, so korbanos, obviously that was the source in the psukim, and lulav dalad minim, the only two. Maybe we'll also include shofar, but that's an incredibly specific group to say that it's only these mitzvahs which are going to be included. Highlights a very strong connection, again, not necessarily intuitive, but a very strong connection between the mitzvah of dalad minim and korbanos. And it's surprising that there's almost a different kiyum of the mitzvah of dal minim in the Mikdash versus in Gevulin. In the Mikdash, it's the mitzvah of all 7 days based on Ismachim with Nashon Lakechem Shivashimim, whereas in Gevulin, Midaraisa, it's only for the first day. When the Beit Mikdash was destroyed, Ryochan Ben Zakkai said, it can't be. We don't, as a Zechel Mikdash, we don't want it. We're going to take that mitzvah of dal minim kol shiva and apply it to the Gevulin also. It's almost taking the mitzvah out of the Mikdash and giving it to Klal Yisrael, giving it to the non-invasive Mikdash areas to make sure that we were able to hold on to this. A very strong connection between dalad minim and korbanos. Next, continuing in that perek, the idea of dichoy by dalad minim. Can you have a min, one of your dalad minim, which started out kosher when yantif came in, then became pasul, and then became kosher again? Can I still use that for the mitzvah, or do I need to find something else? So Rashi there is explicit that dichoy is a question by mitzvos. We're not sure. We looked chulin, kisui adam. We're not sure if dichoy applies to mitzvos in general. However, we know that dichoy definitely applies to Korbanos. We know that Dichoy applies to Korbanos, Dichoy Mekara, and Nira Venidcha, that Dichoy definitely applies to Korbanos, and it's a question whether we're going to apply that over to Dal and Minim, and the kind of proof text of the discussion that's focusing on is Dal and Minim, is where we bring it up. Again, surprising. Why should I have this Hava Mina that we should apply something which is relevant to Korbanos? We should apply that over to Dal and Minim. That's what we have. That's the Gemara and Lama Gimel. Rashi and Lama Gimel, Yesh Dichoy Etzal Mitzvos, Klomer Noheges, Torah Dichoy Etzal Mitzvos, Kishem Shenoheges Etzal Korbanos. So not something I would have expected to see, but the connection is definitely there. The next one is Na'anuim. Gemara says the Na'anuim by Lulav, by Dal Minim, comes from the Shtei HaLechem and the Kivtei Atzeres. That's definitely related to the Ritzu and the Korbanos idea. The Makor for that din, you're supposed to have Na'anuim by the Dal Minim, is learned from the Shtei HaLechem and Shavuos and the Kivtei Atzeres. Rashi also points out there's a very strong Miluim connection here too. The source pasuk is actually talking about the Tanufa of the El Miluim, and we learn from the El Miluim to the Kiftei Atzeres, and then this passed over from the Kiftei Atzeres to the Dal Minim. Miluim is the source for El Tanufa. We already saw the Miluim connection when we were talking about the whether Sukkah is a nighttime mitzvah or a nighttime daytime mitzvah. That's on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, just going through that third parak. So again, we end up with 9 makoros, six for the sukkah itself, sukkah and mikdash, 3 for Dal and Minim, and 3 for Dal and Minim and korbanos. I guess the question is, what's the significance of this? What are we trying to say? What are we trying to do here? So when I gave this over once at Rav David Miller, Rav Noah's Rosh Kol and Gross, so he had last year, I think it was either last year or 2 years ago. He had a bunch of, he invited the Kolel to come to his sukkah for his Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and he gave a very nice Dvar Torah, and then he asked each guy to give over something, to give over like a nice pshetel. So I don't have much to say. So I was developing this idea, I had just started seeing these different connections, these different ideas, so I spoke out some of these connections, and I think I left it open as a question, even like, what's significant to this? Is just like something interesting. And Rav Ben Arsh, who's the Skan Rosh Kol, one of the Magid Shir, and Gris was there. He came over afterwards and said, I have a very, very nice idea. And he added that there are a bunch of references in the Pesukim to both in the context of Sukkah and really throughout Tanakh, which seem to use Sukkah either as a reference to the Shechina, or Sukkah as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Mishkan, something like that. Even I think the Sukkah quoted by Reb Zeir in the beginning, Sukkah Tiyel Tzel Yomam Mechal Rev, Machzal Nistar, that's a reference to either the Shechina as the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So he said that it's not just these Makoros and the Gemaras, it's also a consistent idea or a perspective seen throughout Tanakh that there's this connection there. And then like a few days later, HaKadosh was doing their Hoshana Rabbah program with a bunch of different speakers from around, and I saw that Rav Ben Arsh was speaking, and his title was something like the surprising connection between the Beis HaMikdash and Sukkah. I'm like, did he just steal my idea? But no, obviously this is something that he'd been working on for a long time. This is one of his ideas. So it was very gratifying. This is Baruch Shekivanti, very gratifying to see that I had picked up on something that Rav Ben Arsh had picked up on. And again, this is this Rabbi Nagain, this Rav Yaakov Nagain, has a whole book about this idea, developing this idea. So number one, I think it's an interesting perspective to keep in mind when you're learning through a Gemara, learning through a Sugya. It's important to try to look at what Makoros are being quoted. Is it intuitive that the Makoros that we're using should be relevant to this mitzvah, or is it a little bit surprising? It could be. If they're a little bit surprising, the Torah is giving you an additional window or giving you a perspective to take on whatever mitzvah is under discussion, right? If I was just learning through the Dinim of Sukkah, whatever idea you want to take for what a sukkah is meant to do for me, I would not have thought that I'm building myself a Beis HaMikdash. But when the Torah points, when the Gemara gives me sukkim or dinim related to the Mikdash as the potential makaros, that opens me up to this perspective. It's not something I would have seen on my own. It's understanding that this is what the Torah wants me to see by seeing those places used as the makaros for these dinim. That's number one. We started with a similar idea with Tekiah Shofar A similar idea with Hagiga and Hakko. Often, if you're paying attention to which psukim the Gemara is quoting, and you see like the clear shavas and the word connections, sometimes they can seem almost outlandish or very surprising. But it could be that the Gemara is giving you this window or giving you a hint to say like you should be. It's not just the words which are connected, but there's also similar themes or there's an idea which you're supposed to be pulling over from one area of halacha to another. So that's one, I think, more clearly general takeaway. The idea, the perspective that we get from Sukkah itself might be, if we consider coming off of, the fact that we're coming off of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is an incredibly powerful avodah. The entire Jewish people crowds into the Azara to watch the Kohen Gadol do his thing. From dawn to dusk, or beginning of the day to the end of the day, he's running, he's rushing around place to place, and everyone there is kind of standing there, and as is Nashon, trying to catch a glimpse as he goes through the Avoda. So, Rav Rosenzweig likes to talk about how the Kohen Gadol, who is the person who's Minyan Mikdash Le'Yitzeh, is the person who's Kulo LaHashem, is almost dedicated and set aside almost for the entire year. He's set aside to be the person who serves on Yom Kippur. There's a bunch of Din Rambam to highlight that idea. That for the Kohen Gadol, who's the person who's Kulo LaHashem, to serve on the day of Yom Kippur, which is the day which is Kulo LaHashem, fully dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is making this statement that how do we attain Kapara, how do we prepare for the new year, how do we get ready to start off a new cycle, I guess. It's by rededicating ourselves. It's not a vicarious avoda, but it's by rededicating ourselves to this ideal that the Kohen Gadol himself really models for us, of that he's meant to be somebody who's fully dedicated 100% of the time to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then HaMikdash Le'Yitzeh, the Rambam says that Kohen Gadol has to live in Yerushalayim. Not so clear from the Gemara where that din comes from, but we know that for the Rambam, the Yerushalayim is considered an outgrowth of the Mikdash. Mm-hmm. That when the Gemara talks about Mikdash versus Gevulin, the Rambam thinks that the Yerushalayim is part of the Mikdash, not part of the Gevulin. So when the Kohen Gadol, if a Kohen Gadol lives in Yerushalayim, where the Rambam says he has to, that means that even when he leaves the Mikdash and he goes home at the end of the day, he is still considered to be part of, to be living in the environs of the Beis HaMikdash. He still hasn't left. His entire life is meant to be lived out in Hashem, ki'ilu, as if he's still in the Mikdash, and on the dinim of not being mitami lemeis for his family, except for meis mitzvah, represents Klai Yisrael, or part of Klai Yisrael, as opposed to who the Kohen Gadol is supposed to represent the entire nation. Fine. So on Yom Kippur, everybody comes together to watch this person who's Kulo LaHashem do the Avodah, which is Kulo LaHashem, the day of Kulo LaHashem. It's an incredibly powerful thing. The downside, or on the other hand, the possible, I guess, reaction a person might have is, this is really nice and powerful for the Kohen Gadol, but what does it have to do with me? I'm just a Stam Yisrael, I'm just a Stam guy. Is it really true that my avoda is meant to just be watching the Kohen Gadol do his thing, do his special rarefied avoda, going to the Kodesh HaKadoshim one day a year, and then I should just go home and be chulin, and just go home and do my thing until I come back the next year? So I think Sukkah following Yom Kippur, and this perspective of Sukkah Domel Mikdash, Dalaminim Domel Korbanos, can kind of answer that concern, or can answer that perspective and say no. It's not that the Kohen Gadol is like the special guy and you're just a stam nobody, you're just chulin, and you have no connection to the Mikdash. It's that you have your own base of Mikdash, you have your own place, you have your own arena, where you're meant to be, in a certain sense, a quasi-Kohen, a quasi-Kohen Gadol, and you're supposed to be the perspective being, you need to be just as dedicated, Kulo LaHashem, as the Kohen Gadol was. It's just you're working in it, your frame of reference is different, your arena is a different arena, but the perspective of Kulo LaHashem is meant to be exactly the same. And then Rav Hirsch has the idea that Dal Minim is dedicating all of your karbana, all of your possessions up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's basically a karban. It's saying that everything that I have, I'm giving back to you, I'm giving up to you, and I'm meant to be using for your sake. So it's saying that the perspective of the Mikdash that the Kohen Gadol has, and we kind of get when we watch the Kohen Gadol's incredibly powerful avodah on Yom Kippur, that's its own thing, and that's the most explicit. We have a Mikdash for a reason. We have Kohanim, Kohan Gedolim for a reason. That's an important perspective for a person to see explicitly in front of his face. But in order to translate that, to say that you have a place where that's relevant to you also, your own day-to-day life, your family life, your career, the things you're spending your time on, should be just as much Kulo LaHashem as the Kohen Gadol voted in the base of Mikdash, it could be that Sukkah is helping us translate that idea, is helping us translate that perspective. The Sukkah is the only mitzvah which you do with your entire body. You're almost submerged fully in the avir of the Sukkah. Incredibly powerful thing. That could be the perspective we're being given, that when you walk into your sukkah with your, and my family actually has the minog, that before davening, we bench lulav in the sukkah, essentially, with the perspective we're developing, you're essentially bringing your quasi-korban inside your quasi-mikdash, inside the mikdash in your backyard. That minog is a beautiful expression of this idea. We're basically saying that let us take our area of Avodas Hashem. It's not in Echinami. It's not a Beit Hamikdash. In Echinami, we're not Kohen Gadolim. But let us take our areas of Avodas Hashem, our homes, our families, our day-to-day lives, and dedicate that. Just like Yom Kippur was that clear expression of almost a malachim, malachi asharis, omdim, yiknei Hashem, and the Kohen Gadol is a quasi malach in the piyut of Mara Kohen. He's literally described the kamalach omed, kamalach nitzav v'rosh derech, I think. He's literally described as a malach Hashem tzedakos. So let's be that for ourselves. Let's use our sukkah, let's use our sukkos as an opportunity to bring ourselves to our own quasi mikdash and dedicate ourselves fully as possible, kulo l'Hashem. Shkoyach.